with another lawyer from the outside sitting in this conference room with me. And I remember among the first abstracts dumped on our desk for examination were some titles in Chambers County. You know, Chambers is just east of Houston. And those abstracts turned out to cover what became the Anahuac oil field, one of the best oil fields Humboldt ever discovered. And I, of course, had no experience with land titles whatsoever. And I examined most of the titles in that area, but one of the titles was examined by this other lawyer in the conference room, and that turned out to have some defects in it. The defects consisted of the fact that in years before, the land had been sold to some eastern farmers who had come down and tried to cultivate the land as rice farms, but some of the real cold winters and the snow and ice of those cold winters had made rice farming impossible, so they had abandoned their titles and their possession and gone back to the Midwest or Indiana and Illinois from whence they had come. And these outstanding titles, at least they had been duly foreclosed, but there was some defect in the foreclosures. And the company apparently considered it necessary that something should be obtained from these former rice farmers to evidence their relinquishment of any claims they might have. And so I remember I made a trip, one of the first trips I ever made with the Humboldt Company, up into Illinois and Indiana with the people who had bought out these farmers to verify their existence and so forth, and in general to establish the fact that they were the same people who had once come to Chambers County and who had been foreclosed. That little experience has taught me how important it was to try to do as good a job as possible on even such a dry subject as land titles, because they can become tremendously important when oil is discovered. As I said, my initial contacts were with Rex and Hines Baker, and Rex at that time was in charge of the land title business of the company, namely that of seeing that the titles got examined and the opinions got in the hands of the exploration department so that they could proceed with the drilling. And I didn't have very much contact with Hines in the first few years. He brought me into a few matters, but he apparently didn't think I was mature enough to really help him. Hines very early gravitated into other areas than Rex. Harry Wise, who was the vice president of the company, incidentally, when I joined the company in 1934, Mr. R.L. Blaffer was the president. He was a money man and not an oil man, so to speak. He knew more about money than anybody else, but he didn't know too much about oil drilling and so forth. The area of oil drilling was in general left to Wallace Pratt and to others in the company. But Harry Wise and Mr. Blaffer were apparently not able to coordinate their thoughts too well, and Hines Baker could do that. Hines had a great knack of expressing himself well with the English language, and so immediately Harry Wise sought out Hines Baker to help him write his material and express himself both in letters and in memoranda and in other matters. And so they became a really great combination. Harry Wise realized that he needed Hines to coordinate his thoughts and bring them together and put them on paper. And Hines was glad to do that because he saw that was an opening to greater opportunities in the company. So where Hines turned his attention to Harry Wise and his global view of the company, where Rex was more concerned with the more mundane matters, such as the perfecting of land titles and the writing of leases and such as that. But at any rate, I saw more and more of these two people from time to time, and I began to like them very much because I could see that they were ideal types of persons. I've often told the story that I imagined that when I was young that all businessmen were like Rex and Hines, but I found out at a later date that they, that indeed they were not. Rex and Hines had complete integrity. You could rely on everything that they said, and they were hard workers, and they did their jobs, respective jobs, well, and they were in general considerate of other people. I cannot recall any receiving any abuse from either of them, although from time to time I did receive some criticism, which I assume was well deserved, because like others, I made a good many mistakes in those days. Well, that is the beginning chapter. I spent 33 years, as you know, with Humble, and the company became more complicated as time went on, and there was more diversification. From 34 to about 39 or 40, I was concerned mostly with title matters, and I found that rather dull. And I told Mr. Townsend so one day, and he seemed surprised that anybody, any lawyer in his law department who had a job at all would express any sort of complaint, mild though it may be. But I had my say meekly and went back to title examinations. But when the clouds of war began to develop in 1939, a war in Europe did start in 1939, the Humble Company was called on to manufacture some products for the Ordnance Department of the Army, particularly toluene and later components of synthetic rubber. And so I well remember the day, it must have been early in 1940, it was winter of 1940, when Rex called me one night and said he wanted me to go to Washington in the morning and John Hines and some other people up there who were negotiating a contract with the Ordnance Department of the United States Army. Well, in those days, you took a DC-3 to Washington, and Rex said to take the night plane, and I followed his advice, which was rather silly, but the plane left about 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening, and took all night to get to Washington. Of course, there was no sleep on the way there. So I remember going to the Shoreham Hotel for the first time, waiting until breakfast time, and then calling Hines and having breakfast with him, and getting introduced to the group that was there. It consisted, I don't know of whom all it consisted, but I think it consisted of Harry Wise and Hines Baker and Dr. Voss, Ernie Voss, and maybe Dayton Wild, I'm not sure about that, and maybe one or two chemical engineers from the Baytown refinery. And the meetings that were being held were with the Ordnance Department of the Army, and the proposal was that Humble undertake to manufacture a product called toluene in the Baytown refinery and supply it to the Army so it could be incorporated and made a part of TNT, which is trinitrotoluene. So that was my first experience with a government contract. And after Hines, who initiated the writing of the contract, I carried on and picked up and concluded the contract. And they nominated me as the law department representative to administer the contract, that is to keep up with it from time to time, to prepare amendments of it. There were numerous amendments as we changed a route from time to time.